This is tape 5, Levels of Thinking, Scorekeepers. In this part, Lynn describes the second level of thinking, scorekeeper thinking, which is typical of elementary age children and many adults who feel distrustful, cheated, or treated unfairly. Refer to the scorekeeper category in your handouts number 4, 5, 6, and 7 in your booklet.
Now we'll talk about the second level of thinking, scorekeeper thinking. As Tom mentioned, scorekeeper thinking is typical of elementary age children, and it's common in adults who feel threatened or who feel distrustful or cheated or that something's been unfair for them. What's different developmentally in our thinking ability by this stage is that we're able to think logically. We're able to think logically with an important condition, and that condition is that we have to have immediate, concrete sensory data. So the thinking in this stage is what's called concrete literal, or concrete logical thinking. We can follow a logical sequence. We can understand the relationship between events if we have concrete, immediate data to work with. We see this reflected in many ways in our relations with others. I recall in the past when I would send my kids out to clean the garage, and in my estimation, they were just out there messing around. And I'd go out and get on them and end up having to sort of ride the herd the whole time. And the truth is, oftentimes, they didn't understand. Their level of thinking did not allow them to organize and plan the work that needed to be done. And I found that when I went out to the garage and said, look, there are different categories of objects here. There's lawn equipment, there's sporting equipment, there are toys, there are car parts. The process is I want you to take everything out of the garage, sweep the garage, hose it down, and then I want the car stuff over there, I want the sporting equipment over there. When I could give them the categories and the steps in the process, then they could do the job. I also have memories of this old farmhouse we used to live in that had a front and back staircase, and on the landing in between where the stairs came up, we had a bird that I really did not like, and did not like primarily because it spit its bird seeds out all over the landing. So it was a regular event in our family for me to have one of the kids tell one of the kids to go vacuum the hallway and the stairs. And he would, typically, but he wouldn't do the landing in between. And the common response was, well, you didn't say the landing, you said the hallway and the stairs. So it's common for people in this level of thinking to listen to us literally, to literally do what we say, or to take us literally at our word, such as, well, you said we were going to have bonuses this year. Well, yes, that's before we went bankrupt. But you said, you promised. People hear us literally instead of listening to the meaning of what we say. And my guess is you encounter that in the workplace, regular basis, where you will take a project to someone and it seems obvious to you what needs to be done, and they don't do what's obvious, and you get the less than satisfactory results back, and you probably go off muttering to yourself, why don't they think for themselves? Well, the fact is, when people are in this level of thinking, they don't think for themselves. They literally do what they're told to do. So if you tell your secretary to, you give her your travel receipts for the year and say, do something with this, she's likely to do something with them. She's likely to put them in 12 envelopes and hand them back to you instead of spreadsheeting them and giving you your reimbursements. You didn't say spreadsheet them and give them your reimbursement. You said do something with them. So in this level of thinking, we need to be cognizant of being very specific with people. This is true particularly if I'm giving performance feedback to someone because they oftentimes are in this level of thinking. I need to be very specific about what the non-acceptable behavior is. I need to be very specific and accurate about how many times it happens, because what is typical of people in this stage who listen literally is that if you're not literally true, if you're not literally accurate, then they discount everything you said. So if you say you haven't turned in your assignments, they're likely to snap back and say, I haven't turned in one assignment, or I haven't turned in two, which means I can discount everything you're saying because you're not saying what's precisely, accurately true. So it becomes important in giving feedback that I give precise feedback. If possible, I probably need to give the feedback in written form. So when the person goes away from me and if their thinking expands, they can read the feedback and understand it more fully. So the thinking is concrete, literal. The person can follow a specific logical sequence of thought if they have immediate data to do so. But they can't think abstractly. They cannot do abstract problem analysis. They can't do strategic planning. They can't imagine the possibility of something different than what exists. They can only project the present into the future. They can put new hubcaps on the old car, but they can't design a new car. It's like they're stuck in the flow of the river, and they can't step outside the river to observe the river going back. They lack capacity for observation. They lack capacity to create steps in a process. They lack capacity to really hear and understand meaning, or to understand classes of objects, or to understand abstract concepts. What happens in our relationships with others is that they tend to be utilitarian when we're in this level of thinking. That as part of my concrete literal thinking is that I don't have the capacity to experience empathy with others. I do know at this level that people are different from other objects in the world. I know that people have thoughts, feelings, and needs, but I do not have a capacity to care. If you're a parent of young children, be aware that you are essentially not a human being. You are instead a provider of goods and services. That's your job. So if you walk in the house and you have an elementary age child who legitimately asks you how you are, you should be shocked, because that's not a question that an elementary age child is normally capable of posing. What your child should be saying to you, if they're in their normal scorekeeper development, is, can I have, will you let me, are you going to prevent me from? At this stage, we view other people in terms of their usefulness to us, whether or not they can provide us with what we need or prevent us from getting what we need. We do not view other people as separate and different from us and as having value. We think of them in terms of our own needs. I can recall the first time that I, in fact, saw or was conscious of thinking of my mother not as my mother, but as a human being, as a woman. And I was working in a family store, and she and my father had lunch together and had some argument, and she'd come back into the store upset. And I suddenly saw this 45-year-old woman. And it occurred to me that it was the first time that I had ever seen her as a woman, not in terms of what's for dinner and are my Levi's going to be clean. So in this stage, our relationships are mutual back-scratching relationships. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. I'll do you a favor and then you owe me one. At this stage, we're always keeping score to make sure we get our fair share. You hear people talking about that they've gone halfway or they've done their half. People at this stage are always keeping score about how much they've done versus how much others have done, how much they paid versus how much somebody else paid, whose turn it is, who got to go last, who gets to sit by what window or in what seat. Everybody in this stage is afraid of being cheated. They'll take 99% if they can get it, but they won't settle for less than 50%. Hence, people in this stage tend to bargain. They tend to try to compromise. They try to get equal or fair compromises. And they are strongly triggered whenever they feel that something's unfair. This is a stage of paranoia, where people are looking for and afraid that they're going to be cheated. What's also true of our relationships at this stage and our capacity in this stage is that people at this stage, because they lack the ability for abstract thinking and hence the ability to feel what it feels like inside others, they essentially lack a developed capacity for empathy, the result is that they tend to project their experience onto others. They tend to assume that others are thinking and feeling and intending what in fact they are thinking and feeling and intending. So sometimes we get feedback from people where it sounds like they're describing themselves and not us. And that sometimes is true because they're caught in their own projections of what's true for them, and they lack the capacity to really know what's true in us. So they project their suspicions onto us. In terms of power at this stage, people associate power with being clever. It goes back to my analogy of the play of the chocolate chip cookies, where there's 10 cookies and 12 kids. And at this stage, I assume I need to be more clever than others and beat them to the plate. And if I get there, I better grab two or three because I don't know if I'm going to get back there again. And after all, if you beat me there, that's probably what you would do. So at this stage, I look at others with suspicion. I see the world as being one of scarce resources, that I've got to grab what I can grab while I can get it and hoard it or hold on to it, because I essentially don't trust that I have the ability to do what I need to do in a sustained way over time to get the results I want. So people in this stage tend to grab and hoard. It's useful to remind ourselves that we oftentimes think about and describe people in this stage as being selfish. And they're really not selfish. They're just kids who are afraid that they can't get enough. Their needs at this stage are to ensure that they can in fact get enough because they're afraid that they can't. And their motivation or their moral criteria will tend to, because they lack a capacity for empathy and because they're afraid there's not going to be enough and they got to grab what they can, their moral criteria tends to be that if it's good for them, then it's good for everyone. If it feels good, do it. As long as I get what I need and want, I really don't think about or have empathy with whether or not you get what you need. So this is a really common stage. We find it a lot within families, and we find it in organizations. And this is a stage of seduction, where people try to seduce others into doing what they want them to do, either by being sexually seductive, or by being cute, or by being helpless, or sometimes by being annoying. This is a stage where people are passive-aggressive in all the ways that people can be passive-aggressive. They will be deceptive. They will lie. They will be dishonest about their intentions. They will withhold information for their advantage. They will strategize to take advantage of others. People in this stage wait. They wait both as a strategy to stall till things turn around in their favor, and they also wait out of a sense of injustice. They wait for someone to recognize how unfair it has all been to them. The sad thing is that other people rarely appreciate how long we've waited or how bad the offense has been, partly because people in this stage also may not tell other people because that's part of their being a martyr, part of their waiting. It's sad to say that some people wait a lifetime for people to recognize how unfair life has been to them. And of course, they never get the satisfaction of that. This is also a stage where people make excuses. They try to shift the blame. They try to blame others. They play what I call Pontius Pilate. Their hands are always clean. They weren't the last one there. It wasn't their fault. Why aren't we talking to someone else? You know, they've done their part. If that other department was doing their job, we wouldn't have any problem here. People in this stage tend to be competitive. They tend to do one-upmanships. They don't get confused like people in preschool and forcer thinking do, but they play dumb. I don't know. Why are you asking me? I wasn't the last one here. Those aren't my fingerprints on that. Those aren't my dirty dishes. And of course, that immediately seduces us into getting defensive in response and saying, well, those aren't my dirty dishes either. Those aren't my fingerprints. It's not my problem. So people this stage tend to pass the buck. This is the stage of all organizational politics, all the kinds of maneuvering that goes on between work groups, people being turfy, being focused on what they have coming to them, what's theirs. So they think more about what's going to make the job of their department easier, and they don't think in a marketing perspective, or they don't think from a customer perspective. They don't think in terms of what others need. They think in terms of what they have to provide or what's going to make it easiest for them. It's the level of thinking that promotes turfiness among people in an organization. If you have a salesperson function out of this level of thinking, and when they encounter resistance from a customer, what they're likely to do, because they do not have good capacity to listen and to take people in who are different from them or who have different needs from them, and because they tend to project onto other people, what salespersons do on this stage is they launch into trying to convince the other person, try to talk the customer into doing what the salesperson wants them to do, whether it's what the customer really needs or not. In this stage, salesperson doesn't think about what the customer really needs. They think about how much product they can sell, whether the customer needs it or not. Hence, it doesn't build quality in organizations. It doesn't build long-term trust and relationships. It's utilitarian. And people know when we're being utilitarian towards them versus when we're really listening to and understanding their needs. People in this stage tend to have a time focus that's in the past. You know, enforcers really don't have any time focus. They're just sort of reacting, being compulsive and trying to survive in the moment. Scorekeepers tend to be focused on the past. They tend to be focused on who did what when, on how they didn't get their fair share, or how they were cheated, or how they weren't listened to or bypassed, and they're holding on to their grievance. And so they're focused on evening the score. They're focused on getting what they have coming to them rather than being focused on what the needs are of others or the total organization and what they need to be doing to help work towards achieving the mission and objectives of the organization in the future. So the strategic focus of people in this stage is focused in the past, not on building the future with others. So the behaviors that we see in this stage are behaviors of being deceptive, of working around people instead of working with them, of withholding, of making excuses, of acting dumb, being competitive, of trying to convince others, of dragging our feet, of making promises and not following through, of gossiping, complaining. Essentially, at this stage, we don't believe that we can get what we need in direct, open, honest ways with others. We believe that in order to get enough, we have to find some way to be sneaky and to strategize, or we won't get enough. One of the ways we know we're in this stage of behavior is when we feel resentful. Anger takes the form of resentment, or when we're feeling distrusting, are when we're feeling cheated, are when we find ourselves keeping score about how much we've done versus how much others are keeping score about what we have coming to us. This is a very cancerous stage. It spreads very quickly through an organization. As soon as somebody says, that's not my responsibility, somebody else is very quick to say, well, it's not mine either. The result is that nobody has accountability in an organization. It is very costly to any family, any relationship, any company to have this level of thinking and relationships operative within it. I invite you to do some reflecting about not only where you observe this in others, but when you're aware of yourself being in this level of thinking, who has the power to trigger you into being a scorekeeper? When do you find yourself here? Again, we all find ourselves here at some time. If you again want to refer to your handbook, there is an application exercise that can help you reflect on and apply this level of thinking to your own experience. And it's worksheet number 11, says Scorekeeper Worksheet. And as with the enforcer level of thinking, there are a series of questions that you can go through and use to help you think about this level of thinking in your own life.
This is the end of tape 5.